day after June 1st, which means A.J. Brown is no longer a Philadelphia Eagle. About 4:20 yesterday, the news started to break.
4:20 is crazy.
We all knew it was coming. At least most of us knew for months. Some of us found out last week this was going to happen.
Hold on.
Some of us found out it was yesterday. Yeah. You held the line all the way to the end. A.J. is a Patriot. Hugh, good morning. The Eagles get back a 2028 first-round pick, a 2027 fifth-round pick. The deal is done. AJ, a Patriot, and we got a lot to unpack from what happened, what it could have been, how it ended, and the entire tenure of AJ Brown. Hugh, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. There's a lot to unpack this morning, right? AJ's in New England.
Yep.
He's up there. He's hanging out.
Already doing interviews, by the way.
Yeah. Allow me to long talk for a minute,
man,
because there's a range of emotions that are going on. And I've seen some of the stuff that the Eagles fans are saying, and I know they're upset. And you know, I'm not sitting here telling anybody how to fan, because you fan the way that you fan and you feel the way that you feel. I'm not going to lie. You know, I saw the same post mostly everybody else saw when he put up immediately the Patriots jersey when he was young. And I felt some kind of way about that.
Yeah.
Right. Probably like every other Eagles fan felt. And it is the absolute weirdest thing to me, because I can't imagine and fathom, you know, being in the position that he's in, where you're feigning and you're lusting after someone who clearly in the beginning didn't pick you. Because I remember seeing a story about him talking about how he wanted to get drafted by the Patriots and he thought he was, and he didn't. He cried.
Yep.
I can't imagine what it's like to have, and this is just my perspective, to have that kind of love for somebody that obviously didn't love you like that, you know. But that's neither here nor there. I'm here this morning to say, sometimes you're not supposed to understand. You know what I mean? You're just not. Like, we sit here and we're, like, as Eagles fans, we're banging our head against the wall. We're trying to figure out why. We're probably a lot upset about how we went down. And how he handled all of this. But sometimes you're not going to understand. And you have to be comfortable with that. And that's what this situation feels like. This just feels like one of those things that you're not going to get the closure that you want. You're not going to get that. And you're not never going to understand it. Just be happy that it happened. Just be happy that we had him here. He had two of the greatest seasons that you can have as an Eagles wide receiver. And we went to the Super Bowl for it. So just be happy that he was a part of a historical run that the Eagles had.
Well, he was. That being said, I'm not sure everyone's going to be happy. It's you know, today's the day to unpack our emotions over this, because this has been a long, drawn-out ending. 215-592-9494. This wasn't like a clean break after the season. It's like, all right, let's move on. No, this drug out for weeks and months and months, and it was a long time. I mean, I think we all saw yesterday, the writing on the was very clear yesterday what was going to happen, that A.J. Brown would be moved to the New England Patriots. So we knew that was coming. But it's a weird one, Hugh. It's a weird one to unpack, because A.J. Brown at times looked like the greatest receiver in Eagles history. At times looked like a guy that you want to spend the rest of his career here, that would go in the Eagles Hall of Fame, that maybe would go in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a Philadelphia Eagle, and all those great things. But then it ended so abruptly, and there were so many emotional parts of this from the start to the end. Here's where I'm at as we say goodbye to A.J. Brown officially. I'm going to remember his tenure way more than I'm going to focus on the ending. His tenure was awesome. Like, if I had told you 4 years ago that he would have 339 receptions, he would have 5,034 yards. In the middle of that, he would have a six-game streak, six consecutive games of 125-plus yards. That's an NFL record. And they'd go to two Super Bowls and win one. He would end up the only player in Eagles history to have two, you know, separate Super Bowls where he caught a touchdown. He's the only Eagle to catch a touchdown in multiple Super Bowls. And I don't know if anyone will ever do that again. I mean, hopefully they'll get to another one with Devontae and he'll catch another touchdown, so that could happen. But there's a chance that record stands for a very long time as the only player in the history of the franchise to have a touchdown in multiple Super Bowls, you know, through the air. So there's all these good things. And I also think, Hugh, that sometimes timing is everything. And I think they got him at the perfect time in his career. He was 25 years old. He was going into his prime. He was, I'm not getting choked up, I just choked. But he was going into his prime, 25 years old, okay? And they got the four best years of his career out of him. That's the bottom line. And they traded him, and they still got a first-round pick back after 4 years. And I think he's now going into the downturn of his career. I don't. You couldn't have drawn it up any better to get four perfect years. Well, not perfect, but four excellent years out of him, and you traded him right as he's about to go down. I'm going to remember more of the good than the bad. I'm going to remember more of the full tenure than I am the end of the A.J. Brown thing. Hugh, it's not just about the end. It's about the full thing.
I totally agree.
You good?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
215-592-9494. All right, let's hear it.
That's why we can't have nice things.
No, we cannot.
We can never have a
I try to be nice, and I try to say I don't remember all the fun moments.
We never have a serious segment,
I can't.
Man. What's up?
Wait, your voice cracks.
Yep.
Loser.
Got me. Though we'll use that one for a while.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm the childish one? Really? Okay, fine.
Well, I mean, to be honest, you laughed the most during that.
No, I'm just saying, it was funny. I didn't say anything. Nobody heard me laughing. I wasn't laughing.
They saw you on YouTube. All right. Can we hear from Brian Dawkins yesterday at the golf outing about AJ and now moving forward?
We've been hearing about it forever, right? So it's here. It happened. Move on. Like, it's time to move on. So, again, I always put my mindset as a player. It's who walks through the door is who I'm going to war with, period. For anybody that's not walking in the door anymore, go do your thing. Pray you have a successful career, but that does not change what we have to do in the building.
I love that. I mean, it's who's here, and he's no longer here. Look, A.J. Brown's 4 years as an Eagle, overall, were awesome. You're not going to get much better production out of 4 years from any receiver in the NFL. They got him in his prime, and I almost think of it almost in a way like you couldn't have timed it more perfect. Get him at 25 years old, trade a first-round pick, get 4 years of really good production, and move on for another first-round pick. It was perfect. I'm going to remember more of the full tenure than just the end. Let's hear Urban Fryer yesterday, also there, and now talking about what's in the best interest of the Philadelphia Eagles.
The situation and the way things ended up going down are all on the shoulders of A.J. Brown. He created all of that, and, you know, I believe it is, you know, in the best interest of the Eagles for him to go, for them to trade him, because he was, in my opinion, a disruption last season. And he was a big part of why that team was not able to elevate and perform at the level that I believe it was capable of performing, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, even with the injuries on the offensive line. He was a big part of why that team was not able to focus, get together, and move as one unit because of his distractions.
Well, I agree with that. It was a distraction last year, one that they at times just became overwhelming. It was the story of the season within the season, and you cannot have that. You can't function like that as a team. One more here, one more former Eagle, a world champion here. Chris Long, with an analogy that I really agree with about AJ, the kind of player he is, and what kind of tough decisions you have to make when you have a player like this.
It kind of worked out pretty good. You kind of leased the guy for 4 years, and you swap a 3 and a 5, but he held his value. You leased a beautiful sports car for 4 years. You drove it to the beach. You had some good times. You get a Super Bowl championship. You don't win the Super Bowl without A.J. Brown. I think it was a pretty good rental.
I agree exactly the way Chris Long described it there.
That's a good analogy,
too. It is. It's perfect. And a rental is what it was. It was a 4-year rental, and it was an awesome rental. It's not the car you drive for 20 years. I mean, that's Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the wide receiver you want on your team for 20 years. Larry Fitzgerald. I don't view A.J. Brown like that. I believe his best days are over, and I believe the Eagles, we're going to remember this as a hell of a trade the first time, and I think we'll remember it as a hell of a trade the second time. Hugh, your emotion this morning, is it more of the tenure that was, or is it that ending that's going to stick with you?
Well, it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because I have mixed emotions. Because that, I understand, you're going where you've always wanted to go. But damn it, man, like, it was like just the you know, the body wasn't even cold yet before you start posting Patriot stuff. That was a little.
did you expect anything different?
I mean, I get it. That's where you want to be.
Yes.
I guess for me, the biggest thing, having trouble understanding, because for me, it's about I want to try to have some understanding to get some closure, you know. But I'll say bittersweet, because it was just like, damn, dog, like you've at this point in your career, your best years were here.
Yes, without question.
Without question, your best years were here.
And there's a good chance that will always be the story.
Yes.
Yeah, his best years were here.
Because, man, and I think that, you know, and I'm not wishing you bad, because I wish you the luck, whatever you do. But sometimes the grass isn't always green on the other side. You know, because now your expectation level is super high. You know, because of everything that you've said, how this thing has went down. So I just wish you nothing but the best, man. I hope everything that you wanted to accomplish works out for you. I really do, but sometimes the grass isn't always green.
Well, you're right about that. All right, 215-592-9494. What will remember the most about A.J. Brown's Eagles career? The success or how it ended? Kyle, what are you feeling? It's over? A.J. Brown is a Patriot.
Well, yeah, allow me to...
Yeah, you can't have two of us do that in the first
segment. Yeah, I know. Well, I just find it weird because A.J. himself never said that he wanted to get traded.
Well, that's true.
And Diana was making things up.
Some
and,
of us needed to hear that officially from him.
That don't bother me that you taking personal. Yeah,
well,
taking a little jab.
I have. I
well,
had
he never
to.
Said it. Well, to
I
be
know.
Well, that's,
yeah,
that's
I know.
A fact.
That's why it's really weird that he got traded.
Yeah, you know who
that's the truth, though.
He made it pretty clear, though, to Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie.
Well, he didn't make it clear to us. I mean, I wasn't wrong in that.
And that's why I just find it strange that he's gone, because usually that, you know, it's one thing you need to hear. I guess it's weird for me to say this and think this about a player that we won a Super Bowl with. But, like, it feels like incomplete. Mm. When we got this guy for a first-round pick, and then when we saw him burst onto the scene in 22, I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, this guy is going to be T.O., but we're going to have him for, you know, whatever, 10 years. And it's going to be great. And A.J. and Jalen are going to, you know, this and that. Like, so it just feels like we didn't get to do enough with A.J. I think the unfortunate thing for me is, like, my head goes to, if I do, like, word association, A.J. Brown, the word is drama.
Yeah. Like, well,
there was a lot, even when they were winning. Mm-hmm. The book on the sideline, calling into the freaking station. Like, just everything. It's every year with this guy. It was drama. Like, and I know we reached some, like, the highest of highs with him. It's great. And I'm going to remember that, you know, maybe 10 years from now, my feelings will change. But, like, as of right now, I guess I'm kind of just like, what the hell, dude? You're goofy. Whole thing was goofy.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of goofiness. Well, that's why, and look, we're speaking about AJ because he's our guy and he's gone now and he's a Patriot and the Eagles traded him yesterday. But that's, I think a lot of receivers are like this. You rent them. You lease them. You don't live with them for 20 years. Right? That's why when you talk about the Jerry Rices or the Larry Fitzgeralds, and you could probably pick out three or four, there's Chris Carter, right? There's very few that last in one place for 15 years and just they're the same every year. Maybe Devontae's one of those guys. We'll see how the next 10 years play out. But most receivers, the TOs, the Randy Mosses, I mean, these guys bounce around all the time because it's the personality. It is the need for the ball. It's all that kind of stuff. So, again, if you had told me 4 years ago this would have been the 4 years, I would have signed up for it even if you told me the ending. 215-592-9494. Today's a day of a lot of emotion. The Eagles traded away A.J. Brown, and not necessarily because they wanted to. Now, I think deep down, Howie probably knows he's on the way down and is happy they've got a first-round pick, but this was AJ's decision. He wanted not to be here. What's your emotion today? What are you going to remember more from the AJ Brown era? The success that he had and they had together, or the way this thing ended? Let's go to the phone lines here. We got Chris in Middletown up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Happy apology day, man.
Well, Hugh Douglas, I think he's still
good
crafty.
Luck with that.
Well,
good luck.
It's
with that.
It's only Tuesday. So you have a long week ahead of you, pal. Long week.
And anyone who wants to call and apologize to us, we'll field those as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, y'all on one.
Morons United, we'll be waiting for your phone calls and your apologies. Let me talk about this, and then I'll circle back to you, Douglas. Listen, AJ did napalm the bridge on the way out. There's no denying that. I definitely was very frustrated with him. I ended up getting in trouble with Bobby Lincoln over there for using a term that he said was okay. It turned out it was wrong. He acted like team
up. Did you just make this call yesterday?
I did. So, guys, but what I'm always going to remember about him is he did help us to two Super Bowls, and we won one. The second in franchise history. And when the NFL Films does their story about that championship season, AJ is going to be in it. And he's going to be a big part of it. So for that, I will always remember him fondly and have good memories of him. But at the same token, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be buying him beers when he comes back into town. He's not going to be a Nick Foles or anything like that because of the way he exited and his personality. So I think you could kind of have both. You could appreciate him, but yet know what type of person he was on the way out and remember that as well. But at the end of the day, guys, I think some of these problems with him, I always focus back to what Q was talking about yesterday. You mentioned this. his beef wasn't with necessarily the city of Philadelphia. His beef was with the quarterback.
Yep.
And he was like, he lost that fight with Howie. He said, it's him or me. And Howie said, I got to roll with the quarterback, which rightfully so, what NFL franchises do. They roll with the quarterback. So I just find that that's what ended up happening. That's what the real story was about. It wasn't us as fans, although we take it personal. It was with his quarterback. And I think Howie kind of in a way agrees with him, Joe, because you talked about the trade that the Rams made. I think the Rams didn't bat an eye at that. We're okay with making that trade because they have the NFL MVP and had enough confidence in him running the offense and Myles Garrett taking over the defense. I don't think Howie had that faith.
Chris, I agree. And on top of it, the Rams also have their future quarterback in place. The Eagles have a question mark at present at quarterback, and they also have a question mark at the future. I think that made the Myles Garrett thing probably harder for them. Yeah.
Yep. And Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Hugh, not only was this, I mean, this can go down the history of the worst take ever. You know, you were the circus leader of the morons. Okay. You were holding you had the top hat on and everything.
Yeah.
So that's why you owe us an apology. Hugh, it didn't even make it, but like not even what, 10, 15 minutes past 4 o'clock.
No,
like,
about 15
I know
minutes.
You were trying to move the goalpost and say, well, if it's a different team, if it drags on, I'm kind of right. Man, dude, it came back like it was a failure in the most epic collapse humanly possible, Hugh.
He's right. Yeah.
I mean, I feel for you, brother, but you got it. I need humble Hugh. I need you to be like the man of the people and be like, man, I led you astray. I was wrong. I apologize. Kids, don't be like me. Admit when you're wrong. You going to do that? Can we get an apology?
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be morons. I'm talking to the morons now. I want to thank you for going on this journey with me. You know, we stood steadfast by ourselves for a while. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to, but we were individuals, and that's the thing that we would take from this. We did not bow to the public pressure of us trying to conform. We didn't do that. So be proud in that fact. I mean, AJ's not here. We're moving on from that. But we ain't apologizing for nothing.
If you think that is enough to offset the last 4 months of nonsense.
No, we ain't apologizing. I'm happy they rolled with me. I'm happy they took this journey with me.
I have a quick question. I just thought of this during Chris's call. Did Hold the Line surpass defense a luxury, not a necessity?
Oh, no, both of those,
Hugh's worst take.
No, listen. Both of those still are golden.
Well, at least
because you know what that says about me?
Hold the Line is not golden.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. You know what that says about me? I'm stubborn.
Well, that we know.
No, that's.
I am definitely.
I actually
proud of
think Hold the Line might be worse. At least the defensive luxury, not a necessity. You had
that one was
some sort of like the league is going this place. I've got a few examples here. Defense, offense, cap room. This one was obvious to anyone with a brain February.
I think more people walked with you on Hold the Line than the defensive luxury.
What does that say about them? I mean,
they are unwavering and they're true believers.
Okay.
Don't let these guys.
Well, I know one person that walked with you all the way to yesterday. He was walking alone because you fell off last week. Our guy Kenny, who promised us yesterday there would be no AJ trade. Kenny is back. Good morning, Kenny.
Yo, listen, thank you very much for giving me the floor, and I won't give you that condescending little drag in my voice. But, yo, you, listen, I ain't no moron, bro, and I'm going to tell you what happened. You know he got that drag. Come on now. I love you, but duck, because here I come. Hi, Joe and Kyle. You, underneath my rock, I came yesterday, bro. I came, bro, right, because I heard something under that rock.
What you hear?
For 15 years, I ain't called. I heard, Hold the Line.
And
guess
what, dude?
I come in with my head up because guess what? You Douglas folded like a chair yesterday, bro. I'm going to tell you why I called in. You know why I called in? It was like walking in on my pop crying. It was like walking in on my pop crying. I had to do something. I called him like, yo, bro.
How did this turn on me?
Because you led them and then you gave up and then finished.
I knew this would happen. You led these people off a cliff.
Wait a minute, Kenny.
Reap what you sow, buddy.
I held the line until the quarterback made his declaration. I mean, that told you everything you needed to know.
You made me laugh when you said the body wasn't even cold. Yo, but listen to this, Joe. Mm-hmm. My rearview mirror is very small for a reason. So looking forward, because I'm not no moron. I'm going to tell you something. As I analyze everything, I still stand on one thing, though. And I'm going to tell you, Jalen Hurts ain't going to be here after this year, and I'm going to tell you why. He's not digressing. No, Joe, what's been going on is this. You're right and you're wrong, Joe, on your analysis. He's still a good quarterback, but the problem is, like the Phillies, Hurts got bad tendencies. He ain't changing, dude. So if everyone know on the court, you, that you're only going to dribble with your left, where are they pushing you?
Your left. They're pushing you against the way you want to go. Of course.
So what happened is everyone's already adjusted. So if he doesn't change, which in my opinion, I'm going to be honest, he's very good at what he does. But, like my man that was in Seattle, I think everyone caught on. This is his last year. That trade was pretty good, though, because, by the way, quarterbacks are coming out that year. Gentlemen, listen, at the end of the day, it's nighttime. Get some sleep. Later.
You got it, Kenny. Appreciate the phone call. We knew we'd hear from Kenny today.
That was a really good call.
How about the analogy of walking in on his dad crying?
That was such a good... This is your fault.
You don't realize so how many people have come through the last 3 months. Like, Hugh's not really still holding the line, is he?
Yeah.
And the people that followed you felt like you know what you did on Thursday? I think it was Thursday. You just abandoned them at their time of need. You were supposed to take this thing to the finish line, and you gave up, and they kept going.
You know what? That's classic spin. Because a couple of days before that, you guys were adamant about, hey, you need to let it go. You need to let the line go. And I held the line as long as I could until the quarterback spoke.
We were testing it.
When the quarterback spoke.
The audacity of you to tell us spin.
I know. All you did is spin for three months.
When the quarterback spoke, that told me everything I needed to know.
No, we told you everything you should have known for months. That's the problem. 215-592-9494. We're reacting to the A.J. Brown trade that has finally happened. What's your emotion, Bay? Are you going to remember him in this tenure more for the success the Eagles had and the success A.J. Brown had? Or the way this thing ended? Where do you come down? And do you like the trade? Eagles get back a first-round pick in 2028. Obviously, they and I would have preferred 2027. That's the draft that is coming up next year and probably the better draft. But 2028 is still a first-round pick, and they get a fifth-rounder in 2026 as well. Your take on all of it, 215-592-9494. Coming up along with your phone calls. We'll go down memory lane a bit. This should be fun. Some things that I think will complicate the A.J. Brown legacy here. That's next. All your phone calls. It is the Midday Show on the day after A.J.'s traded on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Offense wasn't good enough. What are some things you think they need that the offense needs to improve on?
Passing.
A.J., I know everybody wants to get in a rhythm. And Devontae was acknowledging that, you know, receivers, just like running backs, want to get in rhythm. How hard is it as a receiver to get into a rhythm when you guys are only throwing the ball like 20 times?
Incredibly tough.
So many memories of the A.J. Brown era. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as A.J. Brown is where he always wanted to be, a New England Patriot. Eagles get back a first and a fifth. What's your emotion today as we say That's goodbye crazy. Officially to A.J. Brown? What's crazy? Just the whole thing?
No, I'm just saying the whole thing. I mean, just, yeah, it's crazy. I was asking, this morning I was asking John Ritchie. Mm-hmm. We were sitting here and I asked him, have you ever, because I'm trying to understand the level of love for the Patriots that he has.
It's pretty significant, it seems like.
Yeah, and I asked him, have you ever, you know, played for a team and, like, worshipped another team the way that he does? And he was like, no, there was a lot of other conversation I had, but the bottom line was no, it's different. And you try to, like, for me, I just want to understand that, you know, it's not good or bad. I feel like it's kind of weird, especially when you talk about, I don't think, and I've never played for New England, but I don't think, you know, given what you've accomplished here, that being there is going to measure.
Well, I guess for him, it might. I mean, look, I don't think there's going to be any four-year stretch the rest of his career where he plays as well as the four-year stretch here. I don't think there's going to be any four-year stretch the rest of his career where he wins as much as he won here. But what his priority is obviously different than what ours is. There's a lot of emotion today. 215-592-9494. The success or how it ended. What's hit you the most today? And what are you going to remember most from A.J. Brown's career? All right, we'll get back to everyone's phone calls here. But how about we take a little trip down memory lane? Kyle brought us in with a great one, right? After the Carolina game in 24. What do you guys need to improve? Passing. And that obviously set off a firestorm. So why don't we'll do a few things here. We'll go back in memory lane. But, you know, that one kind of led us to a couple days later right here on WIP, the Brandon Graham show at the time. And how could we ever forget? I'll never forget where I was because I must have got like 50 text messages. Like, are you listening right now? Are you listening? I'm like, listen to what? People are like, your station, WIP, listen to what Brandon Graham is saying. And I couldn't turn it off. Here was BG, December of 2024.
They was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we gotta, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we gotta do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things, but we need to be able to talk things out as men.
Well, Hugh, that whole thing hits different now that it's over, doesn't it?
Well, is that we've all seen so now allow me to recklessly speculate because it hits different now.
It does.
And I got to tell you where I was at. I was on my way to Chicken and Pete's.
Because you were on after with that. The player yes. signs, yeah.
And I never forget. When I'm listening to it, I was like, I couldn't believe he said it. And when I got there, I was like, damn, dog. That was a lot. And he said, was it bad? I said, yeah. But you spoke the truth. I said something to that effect. You spoke the truth. And I said, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. Because he admit, you know, like you had buyer's remorse. He immediately had, like, buyer's remorse because he felt like he did too much.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, dog, you probably did too much, but it's cool. We got you. We're going to talk about it, though. We're going to damn sure talk about it. But, yeah, we got you.
Well, and, you know, that one, I actually think they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without that. I think in a way that calmed things down for the rest of that season.
WIP saved the season.
Well, as always, WIP saved.
Yeah, I remember that's what we went with.
People think we're tearing things apart. Happened. We're bringing people together.
It happened on WIP.
It literally did. Speaking of on WIP, we also had this. This was, I guess this was the offseason leading into the 2024 season after 2023.
Yes. February
24, post-2023 season. And it's one of my favorite interviews in WIP history. This is when A.J. Brown called in to the afternoon show. I think at the time there was some conversation we were having, just kind of like throwing ideas at the wall.
Well,
and
Jack threw a hypothetical AJ trade to Surtain, or for Surtain.
Yes, which was really an interesting idea.
In hindsight,
they probably would have done it. But an interesting idea nonetheless. A.J. Brown got wind of it, didn't like it. It's interesting to hear A.J. now all these years later. This was him on WIP a couple years ago.
All right, well, let's shoot with it, man. Like I said, we appreciate you calling. Let's get to it. I think the first thing most Eagles fans want to know is your state of mind, your happiness with being an Eagle currently and moving forward. Let's start with that one, about your feelings about being a Philadelphia Eagle now and for the foreseeable future.
I have no problem. I want to be here. It's as simple as that. I love where I'm at. As simple as that. Next question.
So that was the first part. We have one more from that interview?
Our favorite member of that interview.
We can't not play this here.
This one
I'm curious. Yeah. Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator. Has he reached out? And how are you excited to work with Kellen Moore? And what do you think he can kind of bring to this offense?
Yeah, I'm very excited to work with him. I talked to him a couple times. But we're not talking about that. You guys want to talk about what happened, so let's talk about what happened.
Jack tried to sneak the Kellen Moore question, and he's like, no, we're not talking about that. You know what's amazing? You know what's amazing about... So he answers Ike's question about how this is where he wants to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two seasons that followed that, the Eagles won 29 football games, including a Super Bowl, and he then asked out of here. So, like, all of the speculation that he wasn't happy, it was obviously rooted in reality because all they did is win after that, including a Super Bowl. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here.
The irony is so rich.
It's amazing.
I mean,
he tried to put everyone, like, everyone keeps saying I'm unhappy. What are you talking about? This is where I want to be.
Well, he did that the parade speech.
I know.
He said, I'm a diva. All I care about is stats.
1 year later. Get me out.
Yeah, that was crazy. That all of that was crazy, man. It's when you think about this whole thing, you know that there's something more to it. And even AJ kind of alluded to it, you know, you just grow apart. But there was a catalyst. There was something that happened that made this situation the way that it was.
I agree. I mean, there was obviously something happened, a switch change, because we all remember the reaction he had, Jalen had, when they traded for him.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there at the draft, the 2022 draft, the moment that the trade went down, and Ike screamed, "Now I'm awake," right? Like, and that was, for me, that was the moment, because I was pretty high on what they were doing. They had signed Reddick about a month before. I thought Jalen was ready to take a jump at 22, but that was the moment I was like, oh, they might be really good.
That was their going for the Super Bowl.
Right. It was, we're not just like trying to get into the playoffs or again, we're trying to go win the Super Bowl. And the run was awesome, but there was always the specter of like just high emotions when it comes to A.J. Brown. One more here. This was 2023 season after the opener in New England. A.J. Brown, let's listen to him then.
No matter what, I'm a hold guys accountable, and guys and Jalen's gonna hold me accountable. Other guys gonna hold me accountable. So regardless of if the cameras catch us talking about it or whatever case may be, I don't mind. I'll be that guy to have uncomfortable conversations, because we know that we always talk about a standard, and we're not playing up to that standard. It doesn't matter. We're at home or on TV, wherever the case may be. We need to talk about it. We need to discuss it, because we're not living up to what we want. You know, so I don't mind. I don't mind that at all. You know, it's the reason why I got this C on my chest. You know, so
Hugh, you know what? The AJ Brown thing is complicated, right? For a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think has always felt complicated about him is when he talked like that, right? And it became more the last couple years. Was it really all about the team, or was it about him? Like, it always felt a little bit like, all right, I kind of understand what he's saying. And I agree in some extent, right? They have to be better passing game, and they need to be more buttoned up if they're going to win Super Bowls and be great. But it always came with a twinge of, are you really speaking about the team, man? Or are you just upset you didn't get your numbers and catches? I always struggle with the balance there, because I agreed with him on one instance, but then I'm like, why are you really saying this?
You know what? It's one of those things, like as a defensive player, you know, and I think my defensive players can speak to this. It's collective success. You know, like say, I remember just thinking about some of the things that Trot was saying in the huddle. Got a chance to see Trot yesterday and be like, hey, if you do this, you're going to turn the play back to your boy and I'm going to make a play. And as a collective, we thrive with that. You know, as long as we did what we were supposed to do, the ultimate outcome was we stopped the play.
Yeah.
You know, somebody got to make a play. It did. I guess for the defensive players, it was always more of a group thing, because we all had that group success as a whole. On offense, it hits different when, you know, you have a 200-yard game, a couple touchdowns and things like that. The adulation is different, you know. And, you know, it's just people, they gravitate towards more offensive players than defensive players like that. And I guess that's the love that he wanted, you know, hearing the crowd and things of that nature. Yeah, it does sound a little different, but I think that's how most offensive players are wired to a certain extent.
Yeah, they are. I also think, and look, I don't know what went on behind the scenes. For me, it was pretty clear. He got more agitated when Saquon got here, right? It just felt like the first 2 years he was here, he was the driving force of the offense. The ball went to him. And the last 2 years, it did not go to him as much, and it was more about Saquon. And that, to me, I can't get away from that. It felt like that was the line where things changed.
And I think it's easy and like the comforting thing to do to say it's as black and white as it is. Like, he either only cares about stats or he only cares about winning. Like, you can only do one of those two things. But I think in his head, it really was he wants to be the reason that they're winning.
Yep.
Like, he wants to be the guy. He wants to be the guy that everyone's talking about after every game. Not Jalen, not Saquon. It wants to be like he wants it so that they win. It's like, man, how about AJ Brown yesterday? What a hell of a game that guy had. He's a beast.
Well, and it culminates with the Instagram post he put up after the Super Bowl, right? AJ Brown in the Super Bowl, and he had a touchdown, and he didn't play poorly at all. He only had five targets. He had three catches for 43 yards in a game they won. I mean, they won by 18, but we all know they won by more than that. They were up a million, and then they stopped trying at the end. He wasn't the biggest part or even close to it. That came out afterwards, that he wasn't satisfied. 215-592-9494. All right, what's hitting today? The emotions as A.J. Brown is out the door. Anthony in Jersey's up. Anthony, good morning.
Woo! Hey, guys, I cannot wait. Hey, you, how you doing?
Yo, what's going on, man?
Hey, you. Do not let them try to spin this. You won this. You.
I know.
No.
Listen. Listen, let me cook. It's not about no A.J. Brown and hold the line. Because we knew he was gone. Right?
Not all of us.
We knew he was gone.
Well, not all of us.
Let me reckless speculate.
Okay, go ahead. You got this.
Now, we all know, hey, Hugh, you told us. What's undefeated, Hugh?
That good Gouda.
Now, listen. Listen. In 2000, the first Super Bowl, Hassan Reddick, and I'm glad you brought Hassan Reddick up. Hassan Reddick, A.J. Brown, allegedly, we all know everybody, the algorithm is laying on fire. We all know the true story, allegedly, the story.
Yeah, the true story, allegedly.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm not sure if we could use the word true without, evidence.
True and allegedly don't go together.
Okay, then you're right, though. But you know what I'm saying, and so let's get to the story. A lady and Jalen got involved in that. We didn't want to tell each other wives.
Wait a minute. I know you're trying to cook, but
he was cooking.
This is the thing, and we have to be careful because everybody's married now.
I am being careful.
Everybody's, but we can't be too pointed in our reckless speculation.
He wants to walk down this lane with you so badly.
I do, but we can't. We can't. You know what I mean? Because
I'm saying we know it's true.
Okay, we gotta tell it's true.
We gotta talk on the as I do hand gestures. We have to talk on the periphery. You know, you have to talk a little bit in a broader spectrum. You can't, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Look at Hugh being the responsible one.
What an amazing twist!
I had a couple weeks.
Deshaun Jackson all told us this thing is beyond football. We just didn't know exactly what he was talking about.
Yes, okay, that works. It feels like it's beyond football.
And to be clear, we still don't know exactly what he's talking about.
Brandon Graham also said that one is trying. 11 have to do better. And that interview with Brandon Graham also come full circle now. He basically told us, you feel me, without telling us.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Way to recover, Ed. I appreciate that.
You know what,
that.
Anthony, good phone call. You did cook
way,
there.
Way to recover,
all right,
man.
So here's what I would say. Let's just all get on the same page. There's a lot of reckless speculation out there.
Yeah, and everybody, we got to remember, because the streets is talking. I get the text messages, and I'm refraining from recklessly speculating on that because, like I said, there's some nuptials that everybody just has taken and it could get ugly, so we can't do that. We got to keep that, we could talk on the periphery.
Here's what we don't need detective work to do. AJ and Jalen were very close when he first got here. They're not very close now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, right? So that something changed in their relationship, whatever that is. It is what it is, right? Personal, not personal, it changed. And thus, with that, it became harder to keep this together. I mean, the last 2 years, I think if you gave Howie and Nick's truth serum, they'd say the last 2 years was not easy to navigate. It just felt like it was on thin ice the entire time for whatever reason. I mean, I think the on-field play from Jalen to AJ wasn't as the connection wasn't there like it was in 22 and 23. And then there's also whatever happened to those two off the field.
You know what I just find hilarious? How much of this offseason has been anonymous source says this from, Jeff McClain, from Albert Breer, and we're like making stuff up,
but
nonsense.
Some guy on Twitter
has a thread. We're like, well, that's, we know the truth now.
I think, but it is funny. It is very ironic.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I think part of it is people want to have an answer. So this is I think people have searched for the first thing that made some logical sense, we're like, well, that had to be.
They're looking for the comforting answer.
That's it. We're coping. Everyone's coping today. I mean, Hugh's coping that he wasn't wrong for four months.
I've let this go a long time ago.
No, but we all know. We all know that, certain things drive individuals more than others. And normally when you have these kind of fallouts, it's only over two things. And one of them is money. Like when you have these types of fallouts. Because most of the time, we can, you might disagree with somebody, but you can maintain a working relationship. There has not been a friend of mine that has, when they asked me about the situation, one of those two things came up. Like, which one is it? Because for a man, most men, it can only be one of those two things. Like I said, you know, me and Ike, we go through our little thing. We get mad at each other, get mad at all my teammates at some point, but it's never nothing that gets to the point where it's bigger than the friendship. You know what I mean? So it only can be those two things. You know, we were having a conversation a few months ago about, you know, alleged, you know, situations where and people were dating ex so-and-so's persons and all this other stuff. And it was basically stated in the group chat. If I ever broke up with my significant other and one of y'all dated them, it's going to be on site. You know what I mean? It's only one or two things that allow you to fall out with your family members. So, you know, it's we don't know. We don't know. And AJ made it clear that him and, you know, one, they're friends. It's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
But he made it clear that they're not what they used to be.
So I think when it comes to stuff like this, we look for one answer, like that's it.
Yeah.
When reality things...
Because we're coping with why. Like for us, I'll say this, Joe. As Eagles fans, we can't fathom why you don't want to be here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Because when I hear Eagles fans...
We take it as a personal affront.
Yeah, because it's like, why would you not want to be here? We root for your ass every Sunday. We back you. We love you. Da-da-da-da-da. Why would you want to leave here?
I agree with you. And that's why when it comes to this, a lot of stories, but this one in particular, I think this is more of a perfect storm than it is a simple explanation. I have no idea why, you know, I don't know with any sort of security that I could say it out loud, why Jalen and AJ aren't as good of friends as you be. I don't know. Obviously, they're not. But I don't know. I also know this. At the same time that their relationship seemed to change, Jalen's play is not as good as it was a couple years ago, right? And that affects AJ. Let's just be real. Right, Jalen had his best couple years, 22, 23, specifically 22. AJ had 1,400 yards, was dominant. As Jalen and the passing game have gotten worse, AJ seems to be more frustrated. He wants the football. Also, Saquon arrived. The team became more of a run-based team than it was maybe in 23. So you add all these things together. And then let's not just like ignore that he is a Patriots fan. The Patriots, in this time, during when he became an Eagle, also hired his former coach that has a very good relationship with him. So it's like, it's not just one thing. Did he and Jalen fall out? It seems like it. Did Jalen's play fall off? It certainly looks like it. Did Mike Vrabel get the job in New England? Yes. Was AJ a Patriots fan as a kid? Yes. So I think you add it all up. And then from the Eagles' perspective, I think Howie's very good at recognizing windows, when they open, when they close, timing. And they got him in his prime, and they got four excellent seasons. And I think deep down, Howie knows he's probably on the back end. He's not going to have five more great years. And the Eagles also might be in a transition here where their Super Bowl window is probably closing, and they have to try to open up their next one. Now, maybe they could open up as quickly as a year from now. So, you know, I just think it's five or six things that have come together to get us today, right? I don't think it's one thing. I don't think it's one falling out. I don't think it's all Jalen Hurts' fault as a player.
It's called a perfect storm.
It's a perfect storm.
Perfect storm, a whole bunch of different things.
And it led us here. Yeah. It's a perfect storm. That's why he's not an Eagle, and that's why I think specifically he's on the Patriots. Let's go to Sean from You People. Sean, what's going on, buddy? Sean from You People.
What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Sean,
I'm here.
What's up,
you guys,
Sean?
Hear me?
We got you, buddy. What's up?
Does it sound bad or no? Because I'm in my well spot right now.
Maybe we'll get through
okay.
it.
Okay. All right, give me 1 second here. Okay.
All right, no problem. Take your time.
It's a live radio show.
Hello?
Yeah, Sean, what's up?
Yeah. Yo. How are we doing?
Good, Sean. What are you thinking, buddy?
Oh. Sorry about that, Hugh. I know your ears are a little sensitive to loud noises, so I apologize for that.
No, it's just that you got a ragged-ass phone. You might need to upgrade your phone. It's not my ears are sensitive.
Oh, I'm in a loud weld shop, man. I'm sorry.
You know you're calling the radio show.
All right. Well, this was a necessary phone call. We appreciate you listening and calling. What are you feeling today?
Well, I hate to say it, but I love to say it. I was following Hugh Douglas with the whole AJ thing, not wanting to trade him and not wanting to be traded. But unfortunately, I called today to apologize to everybody in the tri-state area for Kyle Quinn and Joe Giglio single-handedly getting AJ Brown.
Get out of here, Sean.
You weasel.
You know that's not
weasel.
True. You know it's not true.
No. I'm just kidding.
Well, I think Hugh owes you an apology more than anything else. I mean, this is the perfect example. You led Sean the wrong way, Hugh. You're responsible.
No, Sean was being an individual, and we commend you for that.
It sounds like by definition he wasn't, though, if he was following you.
Usually right like 98% of the time. So
I don't know if the analytics on that are exactly correct.
That tracks.
It sounds dead wrong.
It's pretty spot on.
Sound like a track.
Sean, how are you going to remember the AJ era? More of the whole good run? Or the way it ended?
Oh, the whole thing. I am so grateful to have A.J. Brown on the Eagles. I mean, one of the most dominating receivers I've ever seen, probably since DeSean Jackson being my favorite. Yeah, just everything he did was just great. I mean, towards the end, it did kind of sink, but, you know, everything happens for a reason.
It does.
Can't be mad.
And you're right about his play. And, Sean, good phone call, man. We appreciate you. His play... Again, if you told me when they traded for him, the night they traded for him, that I said, now I'm awake, that they would get 339 catches, 5,000 yards, 2 Super Bowl trips, he'd catch a touchdown in each Super Bowl, all pro. Like, I would say, this is a great trade. And then and then you add the cherry on top. And, Joe, also, 4 years later, they're going to trade him for another first-round pick. I'd say, what?
Yeah, that's a win by Howard.
That's a win. The whole tenure was a win. Now, whereas Rocky at times, yeah, of course it was. 215-592-9494. All right, speaking of A.J. and his relationship with Jalen Hurts, we have audio. A.J. spoke to Maria Taylor. Interview just hit. Here's what he said. We'll have it on the other side. Sat down with Maria Taylor about his at the end of the Eagles' tenure, his relationship with Jalen Hurts, and something else from the video that is just a slap in the face. And it tracks with everything else this wacky offseason. That's next. You'll hear it on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Warning, neighbors may start asking questions about your turf tech lawn. Side effects include excessive compliments and increased neighborhood envy. Upgrade your yard with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Realistic, low-maintenance turf for homes, pet areas, playgrounds, and commercial spaces. Homeowners, contractors, and landscapers can shop premium turf with competitive pricing and fast pickup or delivery. Visit turftech.com. That's T-U-R-F-T-E-K.com. Turf Tech. Happiness starts from the ground up.